Okay, let's open our Bibles. Revelation chapter 9 again. Revelation chapter 9. And let's just read it again, starting in verse number 1. Revelation chapter 9 and verse number 1. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And we saw from chapter 1, verse 20, and chapters 2 and 3 that that star here is an angel. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And if you compare scripture with scripture, you'll find out that pit is hell. It has gates, it has bars, it has doors and locks upon the gates, bars, and doors. We ran that through the Bible. Verse 2, and he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Well, that's a lot of smoke, you know that? Darken the sun. Verse 3, and there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And we talked last time, I showed you from scripture, you cannot keep yourself alive if God comes by today to take your life. And you can't take your life today if God has determined that you're going to be here tomorrow. No man has power in the day of death. You don't have power over your spirit. I don't have power over my spirit. No man does. Then we saw from the Bible how the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he gave up the ghost. And so listen, if no man can do that, then Jesus Christ was not just a man. He was God come in the flesh. In verse number 7, and the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men, and they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions, and they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions. And there were stings in their tails. And their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. And we pointed out how that if God wants you to know a Hebrew word, he will put that word in the Bible. If God wants you to be concerned with a Greek word, he'll put it in your English Bible. And apart from those Greek and Hebrew words placed in your perfect Bible, you have no need to fool around in a lexicon in the back of a Strong's Concordance to find out what God would have said if he'd have known English. I believe God can handle our language, and I believe God gave us a book in our language. And if God wants to bring us a word directly out of another language and give it to you in your Bible, well, that's exactly what he'll do. If you need a Hebrew word, it'll be in your English Bible. If you need a Greek word, it'll be in your English Bible. If it's not in your English Bible, you don't need it. Amen. Anyway, as I mentioned last time, the destroyer leads the inhabitants of the underworld out onto the face of the earth. And in this passage, we We read that this first wave of hell's inhabitants sweeps across the earth and torments men for 5 months. And there have been more attempts made by commentators to explain away the truth of Revelation 9 than any other portion of the Bible. I've read about helicopters in this passage. I've read about UFOs in this passage. I've read about tanks and bombers. I've read about computer images in this passage, in the commentaries, that is. And as I talked about last time, I read about rock and roll musicians. There's just so many ideas. Now, according to the Bible, they have something on their head that are like crowns. They have hair on their head that is like the hair of women. They have teeth that are like the teeth of lions. They have bodies that are like the bodies of horses. But the Bible does not say that they were like locusts. The Bible says they are locusts. They come out of the pit of hell. They sweep across the earth. They sting men, tormenting them with their scorpion-like tails, but they do not kill them. Now, there's several things we need to note just in general. Then we'll take a look at these locusts and we'll consider them again. First of all, there is fire in hell. And we know that from running the scriptures about a week ago. There is torment in hell. We know that from the scriptures we already ran. Then I want you to notice that when hell is opened, the creatures, some of them, not all of them, the creatures that inhabit that place, who have bodies, who have hair, who have wings, who have tails, who have faces, when those creatures come out of the fires of hell onto the earth, they are very much alive and very much intact. There's no suggestion in all the Word of God that should you wake up in hell, you'll be annihilated. There's no suggestion in all of Holy Scripture that should you die without Jesus Christ as your Savior and wake up in the fires of hell, that you would just instantly be consumed by that terrible heat and then be reduced to ashes. No, the Bible says in Luke chapter 16 that in hell, the rich man lifted up his eyes, and though he were in the flames of hell, his eyes were not consumed. And he spoke, and he said, Father Abraham, though he was in the flames of hell, his tongue was not consumed. And he said, I thirst, I want water. Send me a drink, just a drop. Though he was in the flames of hell, his mind was not consumed. Unless you say he should have asked for more than a drop. Well, Jesus said in Mark chapter 9, and you wouldn't dare call Jesus a liar. Jesus said that place called hell is a place where their worm dieth not, and where the fire is not quenched. These creatures, they're in hell, but their hair is not consumed in the fire. These creatures, they're in hell, but their bodies are not consumed in the fire. These creatures are in hell, but as soon as hell is opened, out they come, just as alive as they were when they hit that pit. You say, I don't believe something like that could happen. Well, like I said, you wouldn't call God a liar. God told you in Daniel chapter 3 about three Hebrew children who were thrown into a fiery furnace, into a fire that was heated 7 times hotter than it was ever intended to be. And those men were thrown down there in that fire. And the Bible says that their clothes were not burned. Their socks were not burned. Their outer garments were not burned. Their hair was not burned. Their beards were not burned. They didn't even get the smell of smoke upon their clothing. And when they were brought forth out of that fire, they were as good as they were when they went in. What a strange thing. You know what, my wife and I, we went to Eureka this past week to buy some appliances. got me a new computer too. And we sat in front of the counter there waiting for our order to be brought out. And those sliding doors opened up, revealing the place where the employees will smoke outside. But it was windy that day, and this cloud of smoke came right into the store, right into my face. And when we got home, that smoky smell was still on our clothes. That's a strange thing, isn't it? When I go camping with my family and we get a campfire going and sit around that campfire, when we get home, we still smell like the wood that we were burning in that fire. And yet the Bible says in Daniel chapter 3, those fellas, they went in that furnace of fire and they walked into that furnace of fire with the Lord. And they were brought up out of that furnace of fire, and they didn't even have the smell of the smoke on their clothes. I'm telling you something. God controls those elements. God makes the oxygen. God makes the lumber. God makes the heat. I don't know how he does it, but I know God makes the fire, and in the heart of this earth, God put a place called the bottomless pit. God called that bottomless pit hell. And God sentenced Christ rejecting sinners to that place called hell. And you don't get burned up. You don't get burned to ashes. You don't get annihilated and cease to exist. You burn and you burn and you burn and you burn. And if somebody opened that pit 2,000 years later, you'd cry out, "I want a drop of water." And you'd still be there. You'd still be there. And something else we need to notice about this place called hell. These satanic creatures in the pit of hell, burning in the fires of hell, when hell is opened and these creatures rush forth onto the face of the earth, notice they do not bow their knee and ask God for mercy. If you read Luke 16, you find the rich man in hell did not humble himself and ask God for mercy. And later we'll see in Revelation chapter number 20 that after Satan's been bound in that place called hell for 1,000 years, when he's loosed for a little season, he goes right back to working against God and against the people of God. He didn't change one bit in that 1,000 years. Why is that important? Well, if you don't trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, this side of the grave, you will die a lost and unregenerate sinner. And the only way a person gets saved is through the convicting power of the Holy Ghost. Well, guess what? There is no convicting power of the Holy Ghost in hell. The only way you can get saved is by faith. And the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And guess what? There is no preaching of the word of God in hell. The only way that your nature can ever be changed is to have a born again, life changing experience through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is not going to go down to hell to give you that new birth. What I'm telling you is this: you could burn in hell for 5 years and it wouldn't change you. You could burn in hell for 100 years. It wouldn't change you. You could burn in hell for 2,000 years. It would not change you. You could burn in hell for all eternity. And if you die a lost sinner and go to hell, that's what you will be forever. That's why Jesus said, ye must be born again. The torment of hell, the horror of hell, the punishment of hell, the pain of hell won't change you. The only thing that can change you is the indwelling Holy Spirit of God making you a new creature. Isn't that something? Now listen, in this life, bad times bring you to an end of yourself. Bad times bring you to a place where you can see that you're in a world of trouble. And then out of that heart condition, the Holy Spirit of God can draw you to Jesus Christ. But on the other side of the grave, if you die without Christ, you enter a bad time, but no Holy Spirit passing your way to deal with you about your situation. No Lord Jesus Christ coming by to draw you out of it. If you die lost, you're lost. That's something to think about. I can understand why lost sinners would invent a place called purgatory. You say, well, surely God would give people a second chance. Your only chance is the death of his son upon the cross. To give you a second chance, he'd have to kill his son again. He's not going to do that. See, I've got to say this carefully. You don't get saved through pain. You get saved through Jesus Christ. In hell, there is pain, but no Jesus. You can't get saved there. You don't get saved through a bad time. You get saved through Jesus. Hell is a bad time, but there's no Jesus there. You can't get saved in hell. You can't get saved through a terrible experience. You get saved through Jesus. Hell, it's a terrible experience, but Jesus isn't there. You can't get saved in hell. So I wouldn't wait. I wouldn't put it off. I wouldn't think about it after I wouldn't think that, you know, after I've suffered a while, the Lord's going to feel sorry for me and give me a chance to get right. Because, you know, if he let you out of hell in Revelation 9, let you out of hell, Revelation 20, or sent Father Abraham to chit chat with you, Luke chapter 16, he's going to find you exactly the same, unchanged, unrepentant. If you die cursing Jesus Christ, you're going to curse him forever. If you die rejecting Jesus Christ, you'll reject him forever. I don't fully understand these things. I just know what the Bible says. But I know when that man and that woman ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, there was another tree in there, and it was the tree of life. If a man ate of that tree, he'd live forever. And what did God do? He ran that man and that woman out of the garden in their fallen state, and he put cherubims there, and he put a flaming sword. He gave those cherubim an order. He said, whatever you do, don't let those people get to that tree of life until I got time to hang on a tree for their sins. Because if they eat that tree of life in the condition that they're in now, they'll be forever in that condition that they're in right now. If you step out into eternity saved, you're saved forever. Hallelujah. You step out into eternity lost, you're lost forever. Woe is you. Hell won't change you. Hell doesn't change anybody. Well, let's look at these creatures and we'll run some verses in the Bible. I want to give you some reasons why we know these are a different variety of locusts or of creatures than anything that's passed the face of this earth before. Some years ago, I want to give you an illustration or two here. Some years ago, there were some men fishing in the Indian Ocean, and they brought up from the depths of the ocean a thing that they gave a scientific name that nobody could pronounce. And so they ended up calling it Megamouth. It was a shark that nobody'd ever seen before. It had this huge cavernous mouth on it. And it lived way, way deep down in the depths of the ocean. And the only thing they had to compare it to were dinosaurs that they thought had been extinct millions or billions of years ago. They brought that thing up out of the ocean. Nobody had ever seen one of those before. Not long ago, they were over there in Madagascar. They found a thing in the trees or the bushes or something. It was shaped kind of like an anteater, but it had a real long curved tail on it, had a face kind of like an aardvark, but it had scales all over it, kind of like metal plates. And it could roll itself up perfect into a perfectly round ball to protect itself. Nobody'd ever seen anything like that before. They didn't even know there was such a thing. But they named it, called it a pangolin. Brought it home from the jungle, put it in the zoos, and so on and so forth. Now maybe you have heard of it, but people didn't know what that was before. And I mentioned to you last time how the circus king, P.T. Barnum, made a fortune just over 100 years ago traveling around the United States. People would line up and pay to see an elephant. Nobody could believe there was a creature like that. So what am I saying to you? I'm saying that in the oceans today are things that God made that nobody has ever seen. Still. In the jungles today are things that God made that nobody has ever seen. In the remote regions of the Arctic, doubtless, there are creatures that God made that nobody's ever seen. So is there any reason to believe that in the heart of the earth, there aren't creatures there that God has made that nobody has seen yet? I don't doubt that. I don't doubt that for a minute. Did you know that God could have just made one kind of bird and we would have looked at that thing and we would have been satisfied with it, would have been even amazed about it. But he made so many species of birds that you can't even name them all. God could have made just one type of fish and we would have said, wow, that's an amazing thing. But no, God's made those fish all shapes, all colors, all sizes. What I'm saying is we ought not to limit what God can do or what God has done. Don't limit God. Now these creatures, first of all, come to Leviticus chapter 11. Leviticus chapter 11. Ordinary locusts have been made by God for a purpose. And I'll show you what that purpose is. Leviticus chapter number 11. We're reading here about the dietary laws. These are the things which God told the Hebrew people that they could eat and some they couldn't eat. Some of these creatures were clean, some of them were unclean. And some of these things you wouldn't think God would even have to put it in the Bible. For example, in Leviticus 11, verse 19, God told the people not to eat bats. You don't have to tell me even once. I'm not going to eat a bat. I never had a craving for bat wings. But I don't know, maybe you would if you got hungry enough. But let's start here. Let's read this in verse 21. The Bible says, yet these may ye eat of every flying, creeping thing that goeth upon all four, which have legs above their feet, to leap with all upon the earth. Even these of them ye may eat. The locust after his kind, and the bald locust after his kind, and the beetle after his kind, and the grasshopper after his kind. Go ahead and eat those. Now, I don't know anybody that's ever eaten one personally, but I can read about a guy. Turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 3. You'd have to put an awful lot of syrup or something on it, make it crunchy. I don't know. Or I think what you'd have to do is not tell me what I was eating, put a blindfold on me. Matthew chapter 3, here's John the Baptist. He's being described somewhat here. Matthew chapter 3, verse number 4. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. So number one, ordinary locusts upon the face of the earth, God made them to be part of the food chain. Okay, they eat and then they are eaten. Okay, that's what they're for. They're just part of the system, part of that program. These creatures come up out of the ones that come up out of the pit in Revelation 9, they didn't come up to eat grass. They're told not to. And I don't know that they'd find any if they wanted to at this point, unless it started growing again after God destroyed it all. But they didn't come up to be eaten either. They came up made by God, loosed by God for the specific purpose of tormenting Christ-rejecting sinners. So there's something different about these things here. All right, and then notice also in Revelation chapter 9, verse 4, the Bible says, and it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree. They were not to eat the grass, they were not to eat the green things. They were not to eat the trees. Okay, so let's look at this. Come to Exodus chapter 10. Exodus chapter 10. Ordinary locusts, the kind that we're familiar with, they eat vegetation. That's what they do. They eat grass, they eat green things, they eat trees or leaves on trees, vegetation. That's what they do. Exodus chapter 10, verse number 3. And Moses and Aaron came in unto Pharaoh and said unto him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, how long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me. Else if thou refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow I will bring the locusts into thy coast, and they shall cover the face of the earth, that one cannot be able to see the earth. And they shall eat the residue of that which is escaped, which remaineth unto you from the hail, and shall eat every tree which groweth for you out of the field. And they shall fill thy houses, and the houses of all thy servants, and the houses of all the Egyptians, which neither thy fathers nor thy fathers' fathers have seen, since the day that they were upon the earth unto this day. And he turned himself and went out from Pharaoh. Okay, jump down to verse 12, same chapter. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the land of Egypt for the locusts, that they may come up upon the land of Egypt and eat every herb of the land, even all that the hail hath left. And Moses stretched forth his rod over the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought an east wind upon the land all that day and all that night. And when it was morning, the east wind brought the locusts. And the locusts went up over all the land of Egypt and rested in all the coasts of Egypt. Very grievous were they. Before them there were no such locusts as they, neither after them shall be such. For they covered the face of the whole earth, so that the land was darkened, and they did eat every herb of the land and all the fruit of the trees which the hail had left. And there remained not any green thing in the trees or in the herbs of the field through all the land of Egypt. Well, think about some things. First of all, these ordinary locusts brought in by God ate green grass. The locusts brought in by God in Revelation 9 don't eat green grass. They're a different type of creature altogether. Notice in Exodus chapter number 10, the land of Egypt, the whole land was filled, it was, past tense obviously, filled with green grass. Well, think about it. I don't know if you've ever been there. The locusts couldn't have eaten green grass in all the land of Egypt if there was no green grass in all the land of Egypt. They couldn't have eaten herbs and trees in all the land of Egypt if there were no herbs and trees in all the land of Egypt. So think about something. Think about what you know about Egypt today. Okay. To this day, that land is a wasteland, a waste and barren desert because of the judgments that God sent upon a people who would not repent. I mean, we're nearly 4,000 years beyond the days of Moses, but the judgment that God sent on Egypt through those locusts, it's still apparent. It's still in effect. Number one, there was green grass in Egypt. Number two, there is no green grass in Egypt because the people would not repent. And number three, God did that. It wasn't Mother Nature. It wasn't a coincidence. It wasn't Moses working a magic trick. God stripped that land of every blade of grass because they wouldn't repent at the preaching of his word. Now the Bible says, I am the Lord thy God, I change not. The book of Malachi says that. The book of Hebrews says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So don't you dare call God a liar and sit there and say, God would never open hell. God wouldn't send creatures on the earth. God wouldn't allow men to be tormented. Well, he has, and he will. The question is not whether or not God will do it. The question is, will you be like Pharaoh and refuse to repent at the preaching of God's word? Or will you humble yourself and be saved from the terrible judgments that lie in the future? That's the question. All right, now notice, are these ordinary locusts in Revelation 9? Look again at verse 14, at the end of the verse in Exodus. The Bible says, before them there were no such locusts as they, neither after them shall be such. So God is not going to send the same type of plague of the same type of locusts ever again in the future. These are different creatures in Revelation chapter 9. All right, now listen to this from Revelation 9, and then we'll go to Proverbs chapter 30. In Revelation 9, verse 11, the Bible says, they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit. They had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit. Okay, look at Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. And verse number 24, Proverbs 30, 24. There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. Okay, so if you don't work for a living, you don't save up for a bad time, I guess you have less intelligence than an ant. Just a little preaching I thought I'd throw in there. Verse 26, the conies are but a feeble folk, yet make they their houses in the rocks. So you don't have to be strong. You don't have to be mighty. You don't have to be powerful. But if you get in the rock, you'll be safe. Amen. Because Jesus Christ is the rock. Are you in the rock? I'd hate to think I had less intelligence than a little furry critter running around the hills. They know enough to get in the rock. Verse number 27, the locusts. Now watch this. The locusts have no king, yet go they forth of all of them by bands. The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces. Now locusts, ordinary locusts upon the earth, like the ants, like the spiders, like the conies, they don't have a king. But these creatures, these locusts that come up out of the pit in Revelation chapter 9, we're told that they do have a king over them. So these are obviously, or apparently, an intelligent form of life that's intent on tormenting mankind. And the only reason that you're not being tormented by them today is that you're part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. As long as that church stands upon this earth, the gates of hell cannot prevail. Let that church be removed, and what you're going to have, well, have you heard this expression? You probably have. Someone says, ask the question, how are things going at work? Oh man, let me tell you, that job, it's just hell on earth. Well, not yet. Not yet, but it will be. Someone says, oh man, I was in the war. Let me tell you something, that Vietnam War, that was hell on earth. It was probably a pretty bad time, but not hell on earth, not yet. You may have been through some bad times, but Revelation chapter 9 says in the future, you know what you are going to have? Hell on earth. Hell on earth. In the Bible, a group of unclean spirits got in this man one time and tormented that man, threw him in the fire, threw him in the water. Others tried to bind the man with chains. They couldn't bind him, broke the chains. Those devils, they tormented that fellow. They drove him mad, drove him out of his mind. Just a little group of devils did that. What would happen if God opened hell and they came out in clouds, so many, so thick, that they darkened the sun, covered the land? Can you imagine? I mean, it was news when the maniac of Gadara was filled with the devils, tormented by the unclean spirits. People said, wow, that man out there, whoo. Well, imagine millions of people in your nation tormented by the devil, seeking death and not able to find it. You don't want to be there. You don't want to be here. You want to be there in heaven. In Revelation 9, verses 5 and 6, these creatures so terrified men that they sought death. They wanted to die. Now, you may be scared of bugs, and it might cause you to jump up on a chair, or you might be a little bit braver and go get the bug spray out and go after them, try to poison them, but you've never been so terrified of a grasshopper in your front yard and that you wanted to die. You've never been so frightened by a little hippity-hop cricket that you jumped off a building hoping to commit suicide. See, these are not ordinary locusts. These are creatures so dreadful, so terrible, that you'd rather die than see one of those things coming your way. Bad business. Bad business. All right, in verse number 11, as I mentioned, they have a king over them, and he's got a name. He gives instruction. So obviously, these are creatures that can receive instruction. They're intelligent beings, capable of receiving commands and following leadership. They have power to torment like scorpions. Well, that's not true of ordinary locusts. And of course, their appearance is vastly different than the appearance of a regular locust. So what we are facing in this judgment under this trumpet is a species of locust such as no one has ever seen on the face of this earth. They will come forth out of hell, not to help men, but to hurt men. They will come forth out of hell, not sent by the devil, but loosed by God. And they will come forth not to kill them and put them out of their misery, but to put them into a misery from which they cannot escape. I know it's tough teaching through the book of Revelation, because people in our day and age, people in our society, they've invented a God. And when you begin to show them from the Bible the true God, the real God, the living God, they want to get away as fast as they can and hurry back to Joel Osteen. But I'm telling you something, the God of the Bible is waiting for man to repent of the crime of nailing his precious son to the cross. Now, I'm telling you something, I wouldn't want to stand before a holy God guilty of murdering his son. I'd want to repent of that so I could be forgiven. Okay, turn to Isaiah. I'll show you two more passages tonight. Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah chapter 28. Tell you what, man, you might have had to deal with a cockroach problem at some time. You were probably able to get a can of poison and spray that roach and watch him die. That didn't take care of his family. Because where there's one roach, there's a bunch more where that one came from. So the next step, you paid a guy to come and fumigate your house for those roaches. And that'll take care of it for a while. But I'm telling you something. In that tribulation, if those locusts, if they get after you, you're not going to be able to get rid of them. They're going to hound you and torment you and persecute you until you wish you were dead. And you won't be dead. It's going to be bad. Now, why is that? Isaiah chapter 28, verse number 14. Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men, that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. Okay, so notice, what I notice there is they used to be God's people. Right now, he's not happy with them. They're not on speaking terms. He doesn't say my people. He says this people which is in Jerusalem. Look at verse 15. Because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death and with hell, are we at agreement? You think the devil's going to leave you alone because you serve him? The devil is not in charge. I hope you know that. You think hell will be a nice place for you as long as you did things the way Satan wants you to do them? Satan is not in charge of hell. Do you think judgment won't fall on you as long as you deny that there's a God and just say that there's no such thing and say you don't believe that you don't believe God would ever do a thing like that? You think that just because you agree with Satan that you're going to escape punishment? Well, the Lord said for that very cause, trouble is going to come your way. Verse 15, because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death and with hell. Are we in agreement? At agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Someone says, you know, you need to get saved. Well, I just don't believe in God. Think that's going to keep you safe? That falsehood? You must be born again. Well, yeah, but I think one religion is just as good as another. You think that's going to cover you? You'd better repent. You better get right with God. Well, I just think everybody's okay. I don't think God would ever judge people. And hell, man, that's an old-fashioned concept. We don't believe that anymore. Hey, you're trying to hide from the truth, and you can't hide. You're trying to escape the facts, and you cannot escape them. The Bible says, pick a lie. Pick any lie. It won't hide you from the wrath of God. Pick a religion. Pick any religion. It won't hide you from the judgment of God. Pick a philosophy, any philosophy. You won't escape. You better make an agreement with Christ. You better make a covenant with the Lord thy God. You better forget all that other stuff. Verse 16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. It's hell or it's the cornerstone. You'll read it. Those are the only two options. If you come to the cornerstone, you're no longer in league with death. If you come to the cornerstone, you're no longer in league with hell. Wherever you are in your thinking or in your philosophy, if you're not in agreement with the cornerstone, you're in trouble. Verse 17, judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. So look what he said. He said, I will lay judgment to the line. So watch what God does. Here's Jesus Christ over here. He's the chief cornerstone. God, he lays a line. He lays a line right there. And here you come, you say, preacher, I'm a Baptist. You're on the wrong side of the line. Preacher, I've been baptized. Wrong side of the line. Say, preacher, I'm a good person. Wrong side of the line. You say, well, I just don't believe in hell. Wrong side of the line. I just believe one religion is as good as another. Wrong side of the line. God said, I've laid a line. You either cross that line and get to the chief cornerstone, the Lord Jesus Christ, or you're on the wrong side of the line. It's just that clear. It's just that clear. People say, I don't understand the Bible. It's too complicated. You can understand being on one side of a line or on the other, can't you? Okay, here's a line in the Bible. God drew it. Brother Bob didn't draw it. There's a line. God drew it. The Independent Baptists didn't draw it. Here's a line. God drew it. Your relatives didn't draw it. God said on one side of the line is Jesus Christ. On the other side of the line is everything else. If you're on the Jesus Christ side of the line, you're safe. If you're on the anything or everything else side of the line, you're doomed. Verse 18, and your covenant with death shall be disannulled. Satan, man, he's a liar. Why would you make a deal with him? and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it. From the time that it goeth forth, it shall take you, for morning by morning shall it pass over, by day and by night, and it shall be a vexation only to understand the report. I mean, it would be bad enough just to know what's going on, but you're not only going to know what's going on, you're going to be the object of what's going on. I don't want to be here. I sure don't want to be here. Verse 20, for the bed is shorter than that a man can stretch himself on it. That sounds uncomfortable. And the covering narrower than that he can wrap himself in it. Get a little bit chilly. Can't the blankets not big enough to cover your big feet? For the Lord shall rise up as in Mount Perazim. He shall be wroth as in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work, his strange work. And Revelation chapter 9 is strange work. And bring to pass his act, his strange act. Now, not tomorrow, now, not before you die sometime, now, not after you think about it a while, now, therefore, be ye not mockers, lest your bands be made strong, for I have heard from the Lord God of hosts a consumption, even determined upon the whole earth. Have you heard it? Have you heard the report? Have you heard that God is determined to loose seven seals and judge the earth? Sound seven trumpets and judge the earth. Pour out seven vials to judge the earth. Have you heard that? I've heard that. And I don't want to be here for that. And yet, you say, not today. And what happens? You get more tightly bound in your sins. You've heard that report and you say, I don't want to be here, but not tonight. And you get more tightly bound in your rejection. And the longer you don't repent and don't respond, the more calloused you become, the more insensitive you become. And before long, you're like some of these 40 and 50 and 60 year old people who can, they can tell you frontwards and backwards what God said is coming to this earth, but they're not scared. Why? Bound. They're bound in their ways. I'm telling you, if you have heard the report and you don't want to be here for these tribulation judgments, now you better do something about it. All right, one more. Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter number 8. You say, man, Brother Bob, these last few weeks in Revelation, it's been hard. It's been so negative. Yeah, I know. But you're also, I'm sure you're wondering, what are we going to do about these riots we're seeing in the streets? What are we going to do about these school shootings? What are we going to do about this murder and molestation? What are we going to do about that internet pornography? Hey, you're not going to do anything about it as long as all your preachers are telling you, oh, everybody's okay as long as they do whatever they want to do. The only thing we're going to do about it is say, there's a God. That God hates sin, and he's going to judge sin. You better get out of the sin business, because that's the only thing that's going to make any difference. You know, society didn't change when you got saved, but you did. You changed. And so if we could get enough people saved, then and only then will there be some changes in society. All right, Isaiah chapter 8, verse 19. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead? You know what they just said? The wizard will get you to God. The spirit medium will get you to God. The soothsayer will get you to God. Come on, talk to the dead and you can find out about God. Well, those angels asked the question in Luke 24, why seek ye the living among the dead? Why would you go to a graveyard to meet Jesus Christ? He's not there. He's risen and alive. Verse 20, where do we go? To the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them, and they shall pass through it hardly bestead. That means they're going to be put in a perilous circumstance. And hungry. And it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves and curse their king and their God and look upward, and they shall look unto the earth and behold trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness. In this law, not a wizard. In this law, not a muttering spirit. In this law, not in a peeping preacher. God said, you will respond to the preaching of his word and run to the light, or else one day he will drive you into the darkness. One God, one line. Which side of that line are you on tonight? Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for showing us the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, the cornerstone, that we can stand upon him, we can come to him, receive him as our Savior, and know for sure that we are going to go to heaven when we die, because he paid the price for our sins. But Lord, there's going to be so many people left behind on this earth when all these judgments come. Lord, it's going to be a terrible time. So Lord, we pray that you'll help us, encourage us, give us a push as we need it, Lord, to get this word, get your word to those that have not received it yet, so that they can escape that judgment and they can be with you in heaven when they die. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.